Today's Old Testament reading comes from Genesis chapter 15, verses 1 through 12, and then 17 through 18. Listen for the word of God. After these things, the word of the Lord came to Abram in a vision. "Do not be afraid, Abram. I am your shield. Your reward shall be very great." But Abram said, "O Lord God, what will you give me, for I continue childless, and the heir of my house is Eliezer of Damascus?" And Abram said, "You have given me no offspring, and so a slave born in my house is to be my heir." But the word of the Lord came to him, "This man shall not be your heir. No one but your very own issue shall be your heir." And he brought him outside, and he said, "Look toward the heaven and count the stars, if you are able to count them." And then he said to him, "So shall your descendants be." And he believed the Lord, and the Lord reckoned it to him as righteousness. Then he said to him, "I am the Lord who brought you from Ur of the Chaldeans to give you this land to possess." But he said, "Abram, O Lord God, how am I to know that I shall possess it?" God said to him, "Bring me a heifer 3 years old, a female goat 3 years old, a ram 3 years old, a turtle dove, and a young pigeon." And he brought him all these and cut them in two, laying each half over against the other. But he did not cut the birds in two. And when birds of prey came down on the carcasses, Abram drove them away. And as the sun was going down, a deep sleep fell upon Abram, and a deep and terrifying darkness descended upon him. When the sun had gone down and it was dark, a smoking fire pot and a flaming torch passed between these pieces. On that day, the Lord made a covenant with Abram, saying, "To your descendants I give this land, from the river of Egypt to the great river, the river Euphrates." Our second reading comes from Psalm 27. Listen again to the word of the Lord. "The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the stronghold of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? When evildoers assail me to devour my flesh, my adversaries and foes, they shall stumble and fall. Though an army encamp against me, my heart shall not fear. Though war rise up against me, yet I will be confident. One thing I asked of the Lord, that will I seek after, to live in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to behold the beauty of the Lord, and to inquire in his temple. For he will hide me in his shelter in the day of trouble. He will conceal me under the cover of his tent. He will set me high on a rock. Now my head is lifted up above my enemies all around me, and I will offer in his tent sacrifices with shouts of joy. I will sing and make melody to the Lord. Hear, O Lord, when I cry aloud. Be gracious to me and answer me. Come, my heart says, seek his face. Your face, Lord, do I seek. Do not hide your face from me. Do not turn your servant away in anger. You who have been my help, do not cast me off. Do not forsake me, O God of my salvation. If my father and mother forsake me, the Lord will take me up. Teach me your way, O Lord, and lead me on a level path because of my enemies. Do not give me up to the will of my adversaries, for false witnesses have risen against me, and they are breathing out violence. I believe that I shall see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. Wait for the Lord. Be strong. And let your heart take courage. Wait for the Lord." This is the word of the Lord for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Let us pray. O God, may the thoughts of our minds, the words of my mouth, the meditations be acceptable and pleasing to you, O God, our rock and our salvation. Let us pray. Amen. You know, today is the second Sunday in Lent, these 40 days that lead up to Easter, beginning with Ash Wednesday. Last Sunday was our first Sunday of Lent. And this time, you know, of Lent, many people take on some sort of Lenten discipline. For many times, it is a time to take these 40 days to do something to help them intentionally draw closer to God. They may choose to lay down or give up something. They may also choose to take up something to begin a new spiritual practice. Perhaps some of you took up a new spiritual discipline, such as a time of daily devotion or a time of daily prayer or journaling. Perhaps some of you, like me, were tempted to give up the 24-hour news cycle filled with fear, with anxiety, with anger, with bad news, with things that I felt like were taking me away from God. You know, last Sunday, I was not here for the first Sunday of Lent. Many of you know that I spent a few days at the Outer Banks, which is one of my favorite places. But I have to tell you that I arrived there very overwhelmed. I had seminary papers that were due. I had midterm responsibilities. I was overwhelmed by stories of friends who had lost jobs in the recent job cuts. I was fearful for the future. I felt my spirit in a time of distress. I had not been able to find any time to do the things that I knew that I needed to do. I had not even been able to find time to do laundry. So these days were very needed. And after several days of studying and writing papers, we spent a few days out on the beach fishing. Not catching, but fishing. And although it was very cold and very windy, it was for me an incredibly needed time of spiritual renewal. The first evening we got there, there were lots of clouds. Everything was a little bit gray. So we really didn't expect a beautiful sunset. But you know, suddenly, the clouds parted. And the sun shone through, and it hit the waves that were being tossed by this heavy wind at this perfect angle, hitting the top of the waves in such a way that it looked like they were on fire. It was breathtaking. And the next day, we sat on the beach in my t-shirt, sweatshirt, jacket, gloves, and a blanket. I looked a little bit like, if you remember the meme of Bernie Sanders, that's exactly what I looked like. But the sky was beautiful, light blue. And there were these birds, hundreds of birds, more than I've ever seen there. And they were doing their bird thing, and it was fascinating to watch. And the ocean was providing its relaxing rhythm. And as I looked out over that beauty, I thought to myself, number one, God's showing off. Number two, God does this all the time. Whether I am there to appreciate it or even to acknowledge it, whether I seek it out, there is beauty God is providing around us all the time. And as I sat there in my head, I began to sing one of my favorite hymns. This is my Father's world. I sang to myself, this is my Father's world, and to my listening ears, all nature sings, and round me rings the music of the spheres. This is my Father's world. Oh, rest me in the thought of rocks and trees, of skies and seas, his hand the wonders wrought. And then I remembered the last verse. This is my Father's world. Oh, let me ne'er forget that though the wrong seems oft so strong, God is the ruler yet. This is my Father's world. Why should my heart be sad? The Lord is king. Let the heavens ring. God reigns. let earth be glad. These words have been written on my heart through years and years and years of singing them in worship. They ran through my head, and as they ran through my head, a peace came over me as I was reminded, this is my Father's world. You know, hymns teach faith, and they even help us memorize scripture. Much of the scripture that I memorize comes from the hymns or the anthems in the choir that I have sung. In the Bible, the book of Psalms are essentially a book of hymns. And so when I read today's scripture reading, Psalm 27, I knew that this was teaching something to us about God. It was a hymn that taught faith. But as I read Psalm 27, I don't know about you, when I was reading it, if you heard this, I kind of felt like I was reading the writer's inner thoughts, like I was peeking into his journal, like I was overhearing a conversation he was having with himself. This psalm is one of the many psalms of David, and if you know David's story, you'll know that it is a very complex one, with lots of ups, lots of downs. If you don't know David's story, I highly recommend going to read that one. You know, my HarperCollins Study Bible gives Psalm 27 a subtitle in italics. It calls it a triumphant song of confidence. And so we begin the first verse, and it says, "The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the stronghold of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid?" Well, this particular verse may be familiar to many of you. You know, you do a quick Google search and you can find where you can buy it on a poster to put on the wall or a pillow to put on your chair, or you could actually have a bumper sticker, a t-shirt, it was bright yellow, with really cool font saying all of these words. There's lots of ways that this one verse has been taken and used. It's also inspired the text for many hymns because it is a statement of faith that the Lord is our light and our stronghold. And David begins the psalm with this beautiful assertion. So we may assume that the remainder of the psalm will be about God's providence and provision, and much of it is. But after that assertion, we kind of have this jarring, sudden turn where the psalmist reveals to us, or in his writing, that he is in serious trouble. Verse 2 refers to adversaries and foes. Evildoers assail me to devour my flesh. We don't believe that's literal, but it is a way to describe how bad this is. David calls them an army. Numerous enough that he calls them an army that encamps all around him. He refers over and over again to his enemies, even referring in verse 12, sharing that they are false witnesses, speaking against him. And the word in this time period, a person's word, was of ultimate importance. It took two witnesses to speak against you, and they're speaking against him. David writes that the Lord is my light and my salvation. Not while he is in the palace, lounging around eating grapes, times of ease and peace and prosperity. No, he writes these words while he is being attacked in some way. Those words at the beginning, they are an assertion. But in some ways, I think it might be David reminding himself of what he knows is true. You see, the psalmist here is facing times of extreme darkness, being attacked by enemies on all sides. And as we read, we feel the psalmist's fear and anxiety. We also read on to learn of the psalmist's doubt. You know, this, as I mentioned, was listed as a triumphant song of confidence. But yet we read the psalmist cry out to the Lord after asserting that the Lord will be there. Then the psalmist says, Hear, O Lord, when I cry aloud. Be gracious and answer me. Do not hide your face from me. Do not turn your servant away in anger. Do not cast me off. The psalmist doesn't pretend that everything is okay, even when it's not, or that the threats are abstract or that they don't exist. No, the psalmist names them: enemies, army, false witnesses. They are very real. And even though the psalmist begins with the assertion that the Lord is my light and my salvation, whom shall I fear? He still entertains doubt enough to feel the need to implore God, to remind God not to forget him, or to hide from him, or to be angry, or to cast him off. Friends, the honesty of this psalm reminds us of our very human condition. The truth is that in our life, we will have times of fear, times of doubt, times of grief, times of darkness, challenges beyond our control, times where we feel attacked. Perhaps you, like me a few weeks ago, have felt overwhelmed by the darkness around us. However, the message of this psalm is not that the Lord is my light and my salvation only in our easy days. It is that the Lord is my light and my salvation for all our days, for every day, for days that are easy and days that are hard, for days filled with peace and days filled with strife, for days when we are surrounded by friends and days when we feel surrounded by enemies, for days when we feel strong faith, and for days when we feel so much doubt. The psalmist begins with verse 1 to assert that no matter the situation, God is still there. It is in the darkest times that we most need the light. The psalmist cries out in these darkest moments because they know that God is there to hear their cries of fear, of doubt, of anger, of grief. You don't cry out to one who you don't believe is there to hear. They cry out because they know God is there. So I said this was called a triumphant song of confidence, and in our language today, that might be a little bit misleading, because the Merriam-Webster dictionary defines confidence as a feeling or consciousness of one's power or of reliance on one's circumstances. In other words, confidence in yourself. We may think that confidence means not to doubt, but in this psalm, we are reminded that there is no such thing as a doubt-free faith. For it is through doubt and questioning that we deepen our faith, that we learn more about God. It is in traveling through those dark valleys that we learn to trust, that we learn to listen, that we learn to call out. Theologian Rob Bell wrote this about faith. Take faith, for example, he says. For many people in our world, the opposite of faith is doubt. The goal then, within this understanding, is to eliminate doubt. But faith and doubt aren't opposites. Doubt is often a sign that your faith has a pulse, that it's alive and well and exploring and searching. Faith and doubt aren't opposites. They are, as it turns out, excellent dance partners. Here in Psalm 27, the psalmist is not confident in their power or in their circumstances, what Merriam-Webster described as confidence. Rather, their description of their enemies shows that they are in the midst of challenging circumstances and that they feel powerless, that they are filled with doubt and fear. So they cry out to God, asking God to hear them when they cry, asking God to teach them God's ways, asking God to lead them. Surrounded by their enemies, they call out to God for help. So why is this labeled a triumphant song of confidence? Because the psalmist does not hope in their own power. The psalmist does not trust in their own strength. The psalmist does not believe in their own abilities. The psalmist trusts in God and calls out to God for help. The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? This statement of faith is not simply something for a bumper sticker or a wall hanging or a very cute t-shirt. It is a statement of faith, trusting God even, especially, in a place of distress and uncertainty. It is an assertion that even though our human lives are often filled with darkness, God is light into that darkness. Friends, if you are in a dark time, perhaps you are fighting with grief, despair, loneliness, addiction, fear, doubt, sickness, confusion, frustration, questioning belief or life's purpose, perhaps you feel, as the psalmist did, that your enemies are all around you. Remember that for each and every one of us, the Lord is our light and our salvation. Whom shall we fear? The truth is that our lives will often be filled with uncertainty, with darkness, with pain and brokenness. But faith is trusting God in the midst of fear and uncertainty. Faith is not denying the reality of our darkness. Faith is knowing that God is with us, even in that darkness. Doubt and questioning is not a loss of faith, but it is simply part of the journey of faith. Frederick Buechner expressed this journey of faith in this way. By faith, we understand, if we are to understand it at all, that the madness and lostness we see all around us and within us are not the last truth about the world. By faith, we struggle against all odds to be able to see that the world is God's creation, even so. It is He who made us and not we ourselves, made us out of His peace to live in peace, out of His light to dwell in light, out of His love to be above all things, loved and loving. And that is the last truth about the world. Or, as the hymn that I sang in my heart at the Outer Banks tells us, this is my Father's world. Oh, let me ne'er forget that though the wrong seems oft so strong, God is the ruler yet. This is my Father's world. Why should my heart be sad? The Lord is King, let the heavens ring. God reigns, let the earth be glad. Though the wrong seems oft so strong, God is the ruler yet. Friends, the journey of faith has many ups and downs, turns and surprises, but remember that no matter where we are on the journey, the Lord is our light and our salvation. God is the ruler yet. Thanks be to God.